Like, she just full of energy, this little one. And she is the wife of Pastor George Bryson, and she's a former, she travels around the country, and she teaches at retreats and conferences. She's a former missionary to Russia. She's the founder of the Bible Bus Stop, and she's the author of Wisdom for Today, which is great. I have this actually at home, and it's awesome. It's a daily devotional that takes you through God's Word every day, and she has something extra this time. It's just newly out. It's the one-year Bible with the expressions. It's the coloring books. So there's different little places in there that you can color in on the sides and stuff, which is really awesome. So she has both of those back there too. And also, I didn't say, Sherry also has her stuff back there with some CDs. So you have to check both of those out when you're done. So anyways, Debbie, her passion is to offer practical encouragement to develop a life-changing quiet time. And we are just so excited to have her tonight. So let's welcome Debbie up.
Thank you so much, Ginger. So fun to be back here. Yes, it's hot out here. Whoa, I live closer to the beach, and it's hot where I live. So I knew driving out here, it's going to be rough. Yeah. I'm kind of a baby when it comes to that. Well, all of you have your pink sheet, right? Do you have your pink sheet? Okay. We have a theme tonight, and it was advertised as determined. And that's a really powerful word. It's a good word. It's a word that we ought to be using, especially for our topic. Our topic tonight is trusting God in the storms of life. Who thinks that's a really good idea? Okay. Sherry's song was profound that she ended with, and it's about that runaway thoughts. Who knows that world? Who knows that world? Who has a storm in your life right now? Little storm, big storm. Sometimes they're people storms. Sometimes they're problem storms. I've got a people storm. Again, who has one of those? People storm. She's a big storm. I mean, she is a big storm. Oh, man. And last Thursday, 1 week ago, at 1 o'clock in the morning, I woke up because at 10 o'clock in the morning, I had to go and meet with her. I woke up at 1 o'clock. And I pictured that when I came, she was going to pull a gun out and shoot me. Someone should say, wow. Really. And from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, I had, Sherry, where are you? I had runaway thoughts. They were absolutely, and I was fighting them like some bad bear had come into my brain and wouldn't let loose of me. Who knows that? Who's had that? It wouldn't let loose of me. I mean, I could picture the gun. I could feel the bullet. I mean, the whole thing, I could do that. And so at 3 o'clock, I just had to say, enough, enough. If I die, you know what? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. If I die, it's a shortcut to heaven. All of my problems will be done. I took a handful of melatonin. It's not sleeping pills, but it helps you sleep. I took a handful of melatonin, and I said, sleep, sleep. I got up the next morning, and I kid you not, God gave me this infusion of courage. And as I drove over to meet her, I only had one regret. I totally do not want to die until I clean my garage. I mean, that would be so humiliating. I cannot die today, God, not today. Just give me one more month and I'll try. And then I can die. And you know what? I faced that storm and she did not shoot me, obviously. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. This is something that God is doing big time in my life. And I'm looking at this storm as it's brewing. And storms, this is something we have to get a grip on, a reality check. Storms come, right? Welcome to the real world. Storms come. Now, you may have come to Christ as a young Christian and thought from the moment you entered into the family of God that God would put a kind of a barrier around you and your world and no storms would come. Life would be always easy. Life would be good. But the first storm that comes is a wake-up call. And then we start rummaging through our Bible and looking what God has to say. And you know what? God does have something to say. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation. Say that with me. In the world, you will have tribulation. But I can just see the look on his face when he said, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And you know, this fresh wave of trouble that's come in my life, and it wasn't just that moment. I mean, it's an onslaught of a trial that will probably last another 6 months. And the first month, it was overpowering me. We're in month 2.5 now. And you know what? Storms sometimes, when you watch a hurricane, they gain speed and then they lose speed. And then they lose their power. And that's what has happened to me. Because first that storm started crushing me. And some of you know what that feels like because you are under the thumb of your storm right now. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I feel like God wants to speak to you. You are under the thumb and you're letting it crush your faith. You're letting it crush your joy. You're letting it crush your peace. And storms come, but God has a good word for you. He is bigger than your storm. And faith is not that you can fix it. Because I hate to break this to you, but some storms to your dying day, they'll still be raging. Our faith is in a God who is bigger than our storm. He is bigger than our storm. And I had this really cute outfit picked out to come and share with you tonight. And I found this t-shirt. And I said, you know what? I'm wearing that because I need to fly our colors. We need to fly our colors that we are a God who loves us. So look at that pink sheet. God has some powerful promises for us to grab hold of tonight. Number one is from Psalm 46. And if you have never grabbed hold of these words, this is what it says. It is God who is our refuge and our strength. It is God who is our very present help in time of trouble. Now, is that true to you? This room is too silent for me. Is that true to you over here?
Yes.
Therefore, what's the therefore that's going to go with that then? If God is our refuge, your personal refuge and your personal strength, and if you know that he's with you to help you in your trouble, what's your therefore? Your therefore is a decision to be determined that you will not fear, even though the earth may be removed. And though the mountains, even if they were carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, this is our confidence. That the Lord of hosts is with us. the Lord of hosts means the Lord God who rules and reigns and commands and leads the angel armies. This morning in the one-year Bible, and I am a fan of the one-year Bible, I opened up and it was the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was facing an onslaught of 100,000 soldiers. He was outnumbered. It was unfair. It was cruel. And God, do you know how many angels God sent to defeat him? Can anybody guess? How many angels would it take to defeat 100,000 soldiers? One! One angel wiped him out. He didn't have to lift a finger. Who wants to say, "Yay, God"? Yeah. And you know what? God has more than one. God has an army, and he leads them. And God is for you, and God is with you. And this is the thing that we have to have hardwired in our soul. Because fears will come. Fears will come. But fear and faith cannot coexist, child of God. And so we have to choose. We have to be determined to choose. Do you hear that? God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Yesterday, I got an email from Greg Laurie. Maybe you got it too. And it starts out with the words, "Did you know?" Greg is so good at phrases. He said, "Did you know?" He said, "Did you know that people have received and not used $45 billion worth of gift cards?" I know, that's ridiculous, isn't it? That's way wrong, right? That's way wrong. $45 billion worth of gift cards from Target and Starbucks and, I don't know, Dunkin' Donuts, whatever you've got gift cards for, but there's bazillions. And I know this for a fact because I have a stack this big, but I never have the Marshalls one when I'm at Marshalls, right? That is the problem with these things. He is so right. I totally believe that. But then he goes on to say, even though that's a lot, and that's sad, he goes on to say there's something sadder. He says, in the Bible, there are 7,000 promises from God. 7,000 of his great and precious promises. But child of God, we're not using them. We're not spending them. We're not applying them powerfully, personally, permanently to the things that we're facing. And I know he speaketh true, because I found that in the middle of my night, a gun to my head kind of picture. I wasn't clinging to the promises of God for 2 straight hours. We're choosing, though, in those moments, and this is the truth, we're choosing worry. We're choosing doubt. We're choosing despair and fear and anger. We're choosing that. The back of my t-shirt says, "I am too thankful to be hateful. I am too blessed to be stressed." I am wearing this t-shirt every day. I am. I love this t-shirt. I've gone to 5 Rosses to see if I could find 5 others. I can't. It must be the only one in the universe, but I love it. I'm wearing it. I need it because I need to realize my blessings outweigh the problems that come in my life. And that is true for you too. Please believe that. God loves you with everlasting love. And I know I have prayed for you guys so much in the last few weeks. And as I pray personally, I feel pain. I do. I feel like God gives me burdens of things that you're going through. I talk to so many people, and I love to just listen to people's stories and let them pour out their heart. I mean, people are going through horrible things in their marriages. Some people's husbands are so sick. I have a friend whose husband will die any day. There's hurtful things and harmful things and fearful things going on in homes. And I know that's true with somebody here in this room. There's trouble in your bodies. Another friend texted me yesterday that she just found cancer. Just yesterday. Those are storms. They are. Wherever I go, I hear people's stories with storms. And some storms, you can see them coming. I was in Houston, Texas 2 weeks ago. And, you know, you followed that storm, did you not, on the TV? And you could watch it on the weather station, and they would show how it was moving and where it was going. So those people, they could see it coming, but when it hit, they didn't know how hard it would hit them. How hard it would hit them. And I met so many people in the church, they don't have a house anymore. And I came home and, you know what? I wanted this sweatshirt. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. My house didn't float away. They lost all of their pictures from their family. They had to be rescued with a boat out of their attic. Storms come, and sometimes you can see them coming, but there are storms that come, and they come out of nowhere, and they can change your life forever, right? So we need to be determined to make some decisions, to build our faith, to sink our anchor deep into the promises of God, into the power of God, and the purpose of God, and most of all, child of God, into the presence of God. Because when He's present, everything changes. Maybe I've told you this story, and for some crazy reason, it is one of my favorite stories in life. I remember it so often. A few years ago, we have this little rental house, and the tenants called me, and they had a leak, and all right, called the plumber. He went there, fixed the leak, called the insurance company. They sent this other company that does the dry out. You know, they find where the water went, and they put out fans and do the dry out. So I met him at the house, gave him the key. Okay, I'll be back in a few hours. I went back in a few hours, and they had torn out the kitchen. They had torn out walls in the house where you could walk from the kitchen into the bathroom without a door. It was just, the wall was non-existent. Flooring was missing. And I looked at my watch and I said, the people who live here are coming back in 2 hours. So my husband had been gone for 6 months in Russia. I was home alone. It was me and the storm. And so I did the most logical next thing. I drove straight to Home Depot. I got the biggest cart I could find. I went up and down the aisles for 2 solid hours. After 2 solid hours, I had nothing in my basket. Nothing. And I stood and I just swept my eyes around the store and I said, I need a truck. I need an army. And I started shaking, I kid you not. And I thought, I think I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I hope I don't see anybody I know. And right at that moment, I heard a little bird. I heard just a little bird. And I adore birds. They're a big part of my life. And so I just stilled for just a second. A little bird, where are you? Where are you? And I thought, you're in trouble. I know you're in trouble. because you should not be inside Home Depot. Never. Because birds, they only fly up. They fly up. And they're not used to steel roofs. And so I started scanning the rafters, and there was that little bird singing that deep, forlorn, sad little song. And I thought, looking for the guys in the orange aprons, someone come and help me here. But then I thought, no. If they came and helped, they'd get a stick, they'd scare it to death. That won't do any good. And then I thought, if I were a bird, I could fly up there and speak to the bird in bird language and say, I could say, I know the way out, because I could see that huge Home Depot door 10 feet below that little bird. And I could say, little bird, follow me. I know the way out. And right now, I'm feeling the exact same emotion that I felt at that moment. I sensed the presence of God. I'm not saying the kind of, oh, I know that God is with me. I felt the presence of God Himself. And He said, as clearly as He's ever spoken to my heart, Debbie, I know the way out. Just follow me. I pushed my cart right in that little rack. I walked out to the car. I lift up to the sky and I said, you know what? I am all ears. I am all ears. I have nowhere else to turn. And now that I know with you, I am safe. I will not fear. And then it took me 3 months to put that house back together. But by the time I drove back to the house, the people were there and they said, no problem, we'll move in with my mom. What? Victory won. Step by step by step, I wouldn't trade that storm for a big pile of money. I wouldn't. Because the next 15 storms in my life, I revert back to that moment, standing, shivering, shaking, fear making me just a melted puddle. And God showed up. And God Himself showed up. You know what? I am crazy about the Word of God. And this is the reason why. I am a very down-to-earth, very ordinary, practical person. I came from Missouri. They always said, show me or I won't believe it. I need concrete answers. That's the way I'm wired. And I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't have the Bible to read every day. When I read the Bible, I was shocked. Many people think that it's just a bunch of rules and regulation and some flowery statements or history, ancient history, long ago, far away. But I'm telling you, this Bible is God giving us concrete answers. And with that, He doesn't just tell us what to do and what it should look like. 75% of this book is stories. 75% of this book are real people facing real hard things and God showing up. And you know what? Why I'm crazy. I'm like I call myself kind of like a drug dealer. I have 30 Bibles in the back of my car at any given time. Absolutely. And this is why, because people are sinking in the storms, and God, He wants to show us the way out. First Corinthians says that these things were given as our examples, as our warnings, that we would learn, that we would learn from the lessons of the people in these moments, facing giants, facing armies, facing storms, facing the people problems. The answers are here. We can learn from other people's examples. I am from Missouri, and my grandma used to say, "Debbie, you don't always have to learn the hard way. You can watch somebody else be stupid and learn from them. You can learn their lessons." Good advice. God wants to give us heroes. He gives us villains that just twist our heart and makes us feel from the bottom of our soul, "I do not want to be that. I do not want to do that." He gives us mentors. When I was a baby Christian, I started reading about people, and I found out that I don't just have God, but I have friends. I have friends. You have friends in this book. Moses can be your friend. Abraham, Enoch, Esther, Ruth, they can be your friends. You can put your feet in their shoes and walk through their storms and gain courage as God shows up for them. And that's what we need to do tonight. I felt like God wanted to take us on just a little field trip. And it's one of Paul's field trips. And we read it in the One Year Bible a few weeks ago. And the truth is that when I read it, I had my coffee cup and I was in my pajamas. And he was going through a life-threatening storm. And it began in Acts 20, and you have it on your sheet here. Acts 20 is after he had faced lots of storms, absolutely. He had faced storms where he had to been put down in a basket because he was too dangerous sharing the gospel. He had to escape for his life. He'd been beaten and put into jail, him and Silas. And in Acts 20, Paul said, "The Holy Spirit testifies in every city saying that chains and tribulations await me." Verse 24, "But none of these things move me." Nope. "Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Now, as we look at the first sentence, I picture Paul standing on kind of some big edge of a cliff, and he'd been warned. "Paul, you've had hard times, but whoa, hard times are coming now. Chains and tribulations." And he had to decide, didn't he? He had to decide. Would he move forward? Would he move forward? Or would he move back? And he made a decision. And he said, "None of these things will move me." Because he had a call in his life, and the call in his life was to tell others that God is good and that God's grace is sufficient. And it burned in his little heart, and he had to tell the story, because even though he had probably grown up in a godly family, just like me, he didn't have God growing up. He had religion, but not God. And then one day, a young man named Stephen, who was full of the Holy Spirit, on fire to tell people about Jesus, was suffering persecution, and they turned and looked at him, and his face was like an angel. And as he died, he saw Stephen look up to heaven, and he saw Jesus standing. Now I stood in Paul's shoes, thinking of him in his state without God, and his state of being a religious maniac, mean-spirited, hard on others, hard on himself, and thinking of him seeing that. And I know in my heart, it would have undone me. And I would have said, against my will, I want whatever he has. And it did undo Saul until he came to know Jesus and became Paul. His life entirely changed. None of these things moved me. And he was standing on a cliff. And the things that unfolded in his path in the next chapters, up to chapter 27 and 28 and 29, was a big storm. And I thought of a few years ago, I was at the Rogue River in Oregon, and I was with about 20 people, and we were in these little blow-up Tahitis where you go down the rapids, and there was about 10 teenagers in this group, and we stopped at this really beautiful, still area of the river, and all these kids were climbing up to this rock that was about twice as high as the ceiling. And then they would jump off. And then they said, Debbie, come up and join us. I guess because I'm their size. They think I could do it. And some moment of insanity happened in my brain. And I started climbing the rock. And then this guy reached down and pulled me up this last measure. And then I made a really mistake. Then I started looking down. I go, oh my goodness, what did I do? And they were all calling me, bidding me, jump, jump. And I was standing on the cliff and I go, I can't. And I was still holding onto the hand of this guy that had helped me up. And finally he leaned over and he said, Debbie, if you jump, could you let go of my hand for So Paul, he was standing on this, what seemed to be a dangerous place. And like me standing up on that tall rock, the truth is, to go back, I could have died. Because it was all rock, all the way down, a slippery slope. Say that with me. A slippery slope. And that's what retreat always is. I took one deep breath and I jumped. And it was a soft landing. I'm just going to review. I feel compelled to review what happens to him starting in chapter 27. If you have your Bible, you can open it up. Chapter 27. Paul had gone to Jerusalem, and in the temple, he had made a vow, and he was in prayer. And people came into the temple, and they made false accusations against him, unfair accusations. They incited a riot against him, and then the soldiers had to come, lest the crowd tear him apart, it said. And so I started making a list today of what happened in this series of events. And if you've read the book of Acts, you can recall what was happening. First of all, yes, there was these false accusations, unfair. And I want to turn to you. Is there anything unfair that's been said about you? Any trouble stirred up that is entirely unfair? Number two, he was misunderstood. The accusations were false. How about you? Have you ever felt the blow of that kind of storm? It hits you deep. When he was arrested, he lost everything. He was arrested with just the clothes on your back, on his back. And I know women that have been in that state. They had to leave everything they owned behind. That's a hard place to be in. So many women are going through that. He, in a moment, he lost his freedom. He was taken away from his family and his friends. In a moment, he had no money of his own for the next few years. He had no house of his own. He was even arrested and wasn't able to collect his books. But when chapter 27 begins, he's put on a ship to Rome, to a place that he's never been. He's put on a ship as a prisoner, not as a cruise passenger, and maybe he had chains on his hands. Let me just read in chapter 27, verses 9 and 11. As they set sail, now much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over. Listen to this. Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end in disaster and much loss, not only of cargo and ship, but also of lives." Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. Because the harbor was not suitable, they moved on. Verse 13, there was a south wind, so they set sail and off they went. Okay, back to your story. Have you ever been in a situation and wisdom came to your mind, but unfortunately it didn't seem to come to the mind of the person who made the decisions that affected you? Now, this may not apply to everybody, but I believe it's applying to somebody that hit you hard. He knew better. He could see that this was dangerous, but they moved right into the storm. Verse 14, but not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose, so the ship was caught. The ship was caught, it said, and could not head into the wind, so they let her go. They lost control of the ship. The next few verses says that they had to throw all that they had. All the cargo, they threw it overboard. And then they threw the tacking. All the tools that it would ever take if that boat went way off course, all the tools that a ship needs to use to get back on course. This is a storm. Imagine this and how it affects you. How it affects you. And this storm just kept raging and raging and raging. And verse 22 is where we get to the really important part. Verse 21, but after long abstinence from food, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster." Verse 22, "Now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord to whom I belong and to whom I serve." Child of God, you can be in the family of God and not determined to be convinced that you belong to Him, that your life is precious in His sight, and He loves every breath that you take. Paul wore the banner on his forehead. He had the t-shirt, blessed. I belong to God, and I serve Him with all of my life. I'm telling you, there will never be a safer place to live. And he said, yeah, we're going to lose this ship. We've already lost all the cargo on it. And sometimes, I'm just saying, we are grieving so much over our stuff, and we don't count our blessings of the life that we have. This is a powerful moment. He said, don't be afraid. Jesus said to him, saying, don't be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those that sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, Paul said, for I believe God that will be just as he told me. I want to say something that's really important to each of us. First of all, there's a little saying that says all the water in the world could never sink a ship, no matter how hard it tried. All the water in the world could never sink that ship unless it got inside. And that's the trouble with us sometimes. The trouble gets inside of us and displaces our faith in God. And we do count the loss of the things and our rights and the peripheral things of life. And we don't stand strong in the promises of God. And I'm telling you, Paul stood strong. As David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. He stood strong and he raised his flag. And he said to those men who were shivering in the cold, scared to death, he said, I've got a God. And he's on the throne. And he's on duty. And he made a promise to me, and I'm passing it to you. God is a God who keeps his promises. God is a God who keeps his promises. But I want to tell you how the story turns out. The ship did get torn apart. It gets stuck in the sand in the front, and then the waves beat the back part of it until it all torn apart. And they drifted to an unknown shore on a broken plank. And sometimes you're clinging to the promise of God, and yet you feel like all you've got is a broken plank, and you don't even know where that's going to land. And you know what? God is my refuge and my strength. Thank you. Just a test. God is my refuge and my strength, my ever-present help in time of trouble. Paul was on one of those planks. And he drifted to an unknown shore. And they landed on Malta. And they built a fire. And then what happened? As he picked up some sticks, a snake jumped out of the fire, wrapped around his arm. And the people looking at him thought, he must be a sinner. Right? Look at that guy, he must be a sinner. Well, he survived the storms, but the snake is getting him now. You ever happened that way? Happened to Job. You must be a sinner. Sometimes we say it to ourselves. Why? Why, God? Are you punishing me? Are you punishing me? Well, I'm telling you a promise from God. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know what Paul did that snake? He shook it off. Come on, let's do it. He shook it off. Somebody here in this room needs to be shaking it off. You need to be shaking it off. Don't you own that. That's not you. That's not God. He just shook it off. And then I'll tell you what happened next. He was invited to a very wealthy man's house. That wealthy man had a relative that was very sick. God healed him. God used Paul. And goodness was brought into that equation, not for any other reason than because of the storm. It's the storm that took him there. And I just want to beg you with all of my heart, wherever God has landed you, if you are going through a hard time, if you're some place facing something, going to a doctor's office that you don't want to go, sitting in a hospital room that you wish you weren't, sitting in a courtroom, that can be torment. But I want you to look around, child of God, and I want you to look around. Is this a divine appointment? Is this a mission from God? Paul said, none of these things are going to move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I may finish the race and testify to the gospel of grace. On your handout, we just have to raise Romans 8. As a flag, starting with verse 15. I want you to listen with all of your heart. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together with him. Verse 18. This is a decision. Verse 18 is a determined decision. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness. Sometimes do you not know how to pray? Do you not know how to pray? I don't. Sometimes I pray wrong. I think of the thousand ways that he should be fixing this. And I give him detailed instructions according to my timeline. Please put your hands out like this. Everybody in the back row. I want to say three words to you. Give it up. I'm going to say it to this side. Give it up. Give it up. To this side. Give it up. I'm telling you who's going to be helping you in your prayers. The Spirit helps in our weakness, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. No, we don't. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. And he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How good is that? How good is that? So sometimes if you just get on your knees and just give it up and just cry out, he hears you. Who wants to say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to his image. I'm letting that sink in. How does it work to our good, this storm that you're going through? It changes us. It changes us. It makes us let loose of the nonsense and the non-essential and the non-important. It changes us. He wants to shape us. He wants to shape us. Just two more stories. Michelangelo was a great sculptor. And he took this big piece of marble and he made this horse that when you see it, you just think it's going to jump out of place. And someone asked him one day, he said, Michelangelo, how do you do that? A great big solid piece of rock and you turn it into a living thing. And Michelangelo said, well, it's simple. I just take a hammer and a chisel and I chip away everything that doesn't look like a horse. Storms chip. Some of you can hear that chip, 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 chip. It's his love. It's his love. He's changing you to make you like his son. So what shall we say to these things? Verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not freely give us all things? Who can lay a charge against God's elect? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? What's the answer? Shall distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. That's being determined. Say that with me. For I am persuaded, read this with me, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I feel like standing and giving him a standing ovation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. God wants to end your night tonight by giving you a chance to just lift your burdens up to him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in you. Who would like to lift up your burden right now? Who would like to? Who would like to give it up? The whole pile of it. Some of you are in dangerous places. Some of you are in depressing places. Some of you are in discouraging places. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sherry's gonna and Gia is gonna lead us in some worship. But let's just have a moment of worship. It's called trust. It's called faith. It's called saying yes to God. Would you close your eyes and make a determination that that thing that has crushed you and blocked out the light and fire of your faith, that you choose right now to surrender it to God and ask it to have no more power over you. Lord, I pray by your Spirit that you would just pour out your comfort and your peace and your promises in every heart tonight, and that we would soak them up like water, that we would be like those dry sponges on a hot day. And God, that you would renew and refresh and restore and make us hungry to open your word and hear your voice and make a determined decision that, God, if you say it, that we believe it. God, as we worship now, Lord, set our hearts free. There's going to be some girls up here that if you need to pray, they're going to be here available. If you need somebody just to hold your hand and power through that veil of unbelief, they're going to be up here for you. But I do believe before they start singing right now, there's somebody who came here tonight and you know that you don't know that God. You don't know him. You don't know the God who's for you and lives in you. And if that's you, everyone's eyes closed, if that's you, would you just raise your hand and say, I want to know him tonight. I want him to be my God. Just raise your hand and say yes. Raise your hand. Maybe your friend or your sister or your mother brought you. Raise your hand and say yes to him. I want that God. I want that God. Or maybe it's somebody you've slipped away and you know you've been far from him and you want to come back. If that's you, raise your hand right now and say, yes, I want to be back. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else. Oh, come home to Jesus. Say yes right now. God bless you. There's one more. Could you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand and say yes. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your rock that we can stand on and know that you are higher and greater than any mountain. In Jesus' name, amen.